I have a gavel, so I'll use my hand. Call this meeting to order of the Alameda County, October 2025. The roll call, please.
Commissioner Zeiss?
Present.
Commissioner Silva?
Present.
Commissioner Rocha?
Here.
Commissioner Nielsen? He's excused. Commissioner Hernandez?
Present, joining remotely due to medical.
Thank you. Vice Chair Kelly?
Here.
And Chair Crawford?
Here.
Right, we have a quorum.
Good evening, Melanie O'Brien, Deputy County Counsel. Since Commissioner Hernandez is joining us using the Just Cause teleconference provision of the Brown Act, she should identify whether there is anybody in the room over 18 years of age with her.
No, no one's in the room.
Okay, Commissioner Rocha, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay, item four is announcements by the chair. The only announcement I want to make at this point in time is I spent 2 hours on the phone today to figure out who in the county controls the air conditioning for this room. As you can tell, I was successful at finding that person and shall endeavor to do so going forward instead of suffering like we did 3 weeks ago. Next item is item five, open forum. I do have one speaker card. The para. No. Pull that down.
My first time. Now that I'm retired, I have time to find out things. So my first question is, what are they going to do the corner of Ruby? What kind of restaurant do they plan to put in there? Or do they? Oh, Ruby Street, Castro Valley, A Street in Ruby. It's a building. The letter says the second floor will have offices.
So are you here to talk about the item that's on the agenda? That's Ruby Street?
Yes. Okay. Well, that building there in the corner.
Well, yeah, we're going to hear that later. That's not really an open forum is an opportunity for someone to speak on any item that is not on the agenda, and that item is on our agenda.
Well, okay, I do have another question then. That's not on the.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, in that same neighborhood, we've lived there like 35 years, and on Crescent and North Fifth, there's been an average of 10 accidents a year. And like people go up and down North Fifth Street, and then the people crossing Crescent, T-bone people going up and down North Fifth, because somehow they don't see the stop signs. So who do I go to get some type of blinking stop signs?
You want to go to the Public Works Agency? And
like what?
Public Works.
Okay.
And you know, one of the staff members here can give you their contact number. You can just do a Google search for it, Alameda County Public Works. They have engineers and a whole department that handles the roads and the traffic situation.
They handle the potholes on A Street too?
Handle all the streets as well, yes.
Okay.
Public Depends work. On where on A Street. If it's A Street Hayward, that would be City of Hayward.
Okay. Oh. So there used to be Ruby Meadow. Now they have 77 housing units there. So my question is there any plans for the future of putting units on between A Street and B Street and then B Street and C Street?
Those would be in the city of Hayward, so the county would not be aware of what would be happening there. When you go to the other side of A Street, Redford Road, that's the city of Hayward. So we would not
okay.
know.
Right. Ruby Meadow was
the county.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
I'll call you back up for that item later. Okay. Is there anyone that wants to speak on any item that is not on the agenda under open forum? D named test and they do not have their hands up, so I'll assume that we don't. So we have no field trip report. Although I will just point out that at our next meeting on the 20th, at least what we're trying to put together at this point is a field trip to the mobile home parks, which would be like 3 o'clock. So I'm not exactly sure where we're going. I'm pretty sure that that's going to occur. Just kind of giving you a heads up on that, as long as we're looking at field reports on our, and I don't know of any committee reports. Approval of the minutes for September 15th, 2025. Do any commissioners have any changes to the minutes? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Zeiss, a second from Commissioner Rocha. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Zeiss?
Yes.
Commissioner Silva?
Yes.
Commissioner Rocha?
Yes.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Yes.
Chair Kelly?
Yes.
And Chair Crawford?
Aye.
All right, motion passes.
Okay, we have no items under item 9, consent calendar. So moving on to item 10, regular calendar A, PLN 2024-67, modification to drive-through policy. Can we have the staff report on this item, please?
Lou Rose, Alameda County Planning Department. I'll go ahead and share my screen. Okay, this is case number PLN 2024-00067. This is a request for modification to the drive-in policy along Hesperian Boulevard in San Lorenzo. Specifically, the policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, and San Lorenzo, which was adopted by the Board of Supervisors in 1999. This affects the southerly portion of Hesperian Boulevard. At this point, 25 properties in that area and 18 subject to the current policy and prohibition. The properties are variously under the general plan land use classification in the Eden Area General Plan of general commercial, mixed density residential, low density residential, and parks. And for zoning R1, R4, residential, C1, C2, CO, commercial, and PD plan development 1822 based on R1. Projects exempt from the requirements of CEQA under section 15061. And we are back after spending two hearings at the Eden Area MAC to discuss with them a methodology for a cap on number of drive-ins, and to return there to fine-tune some of the suggested conditions of approval to make them more appropriate for different types of businesses that may want to apply to locate there. So we were here last in April, went to the Eden MAC in July. We're intending to come back here in August, realized there were some additional fine tuning, went to Eden in September. And so here we are. Again, this is the section of the policy document that this pertains to. This is one of three corridors in under the policy document. And this exception at the bottom of the screen in the green oval is what we're speaking of. Hesperian Boulevard between the cities of Hayward to the south and the city of San Leandro to the north. And specifically, we've arrived at properties south of the San Lorenzo Village Center specific plan area. So this has no bearing on any properties in the specific plan area. To show what we're speaking of graphically, on the left is the entire corridor three, and zoomed in on the right are the 25 parcels from Bachman south to West A Street. Three additional parcels north of Bachman. And this is along Hesperian Boulevard in San Lorenzo. Again, after staff was here in April, the item was remanded back to the Enary MAC for the methodology and a vote on that. And what staff came up with and brought to the Enary MAC that they voted to recommend approval is by dividing the distance of the sub corridor into segments of 500, which gives approximately five establishments where there's currently two, one active and one inactive. That's the Sam's Burger. And so under this proposal, there'd be three additional CUPs anywhere among those 18 properties that could apply for a conditional use permit. So you can see in the blue highlight at the bottom, the updated language. Also, staff recommends, and the Enary MAC voted to recommend to you the adoption of standard conditions of approval that were previously suggestions rather than requirements in the policy document. And when the item returned to the Enary MAC the second time, that was to fine-tune the language around truck deliveries and garbage collection and around hours of operation as such. And that this was just some fine tuning to make sure that establishments wouldn't be precluded from opening early or being forced to have their deliveries at certain times when it might be out of their control, as in the case of garbage collection. In conclusion, staff recommends that the Alameda County Plan Commission consider changes and vote on a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding modifications to policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, and San Lorenzo, as adopted by the board in 1999. So that concludes staff's presentation. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for staff, commissioners?
So include.
That's correct. This would include the inactive Chase Bank property.
Did I think it had some flexibility? Can always control.
Right.
Like just business realities.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the idea behind the last visit to the Eden Mac for an additional fine tuning.
Mr. Silva.
Thank you. Clarify, if you would, please, again, the number of establishments this would allow. I understand it allow five total. There are how many inactive? One inactive?
One inactive and one active. So it would allow three additional, up to three more. That's right.
And what's the issue, if you could clarify, please, on the starting times? We didn't have this last time, I don't think.
You're correct. And that was suggested conditions of approval from the 1999 policy document that staff had recommend be applied. And they had hard and fast hours that wouldn't work for certain earlier types of food establishments, like a Starbucks cafe, for example. That was brought to staff's attention.
So under this plan, a Starbucks could open at 3:30 a.m.
Right, and it'd still be subject to a CUP by the Board of Zoning Adjustments, and so things like that could be fine-tuned there as well.
Thank you.
I have three speaker cards are all for the next item. Is there anyone that wants to speak on this item? I'll close the public comment. I had a question. I'm a little confused on the sites. There's a bunch of numbers being thrown around here. So we're talking about five total. There's two existing. So we'd be adding three. But then there's a table in here that seems like it has an awful lot more than just five existing. So there was talk of 2,650 square foot divided by 500 feet is how we got to the five number, which I think is great. Is the 2,650 square feet the entirety of the expanse of Hesperian Boulevard that we're talking about here, or just that area south of Bachman?
It's the area south of Bachman and additionally three parcels to the north of it on the west side.
Okay, and three parcels. Okay, that's so what's happening with all the other ones that are there? I mean, do we have a...
They're conforming because they are allowed to remain and shut down and reopen with CUPs under the 1999 policy document. And on page 4 of the staff report, that table is just for context to show additional drive-ins in the general area, but not affected by this this proposal. Just like to the north.
Okay, so, but this is, so the total area that we're talking about here then is the south of Bachman and the three properties north of Bachman. That's it.
That's correct.
Okay, and we're only talking about five. And then anything that's north of that or outside of that, you're saying is pre-existing and isn't affected by this.
That's correct.
It's not affected by this because it's still going to fall underneath the 1999 provisions. So what happens if one of those closes, is not reused, somebody wants to go into another location? Is that allowed? How are we handling I don't know what the total number is existing in this entire corridor from Hayward to San Leandro border where the prohibition exists from 1999.
So any approved drive-in restaurant in the policy area can shut down for more than 6 months and reopen, or even shut down and relocate a different site with a conditional use permit from the Board of Zoning Adjustments. And we would just track that there's no net increase in that latter example.
I'm just wondering if we should be codifying that number now, if we're going to put a number on things, it kind of, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of seems like we should say, five in this location, this 2,650 square foot, and then X amount in whatever the remainder is, and whether those are further south on Bachman or further north on Hesperian.
Makes sense. I don't see any reason why not.
Okay. I'm not saying we need to figure that out right now. I think staff could do that after the fact. But I think that those numbers should be locked in as well. Commissioners, any thoughts?
Where in the conditions of approval are the hours? Is the hours item mentioned in our packet? I mean, I see it says hours of operation usually limited, typically from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m.
Right. So on page 9, that was the previous boilerplate, if you will, and then the adjustment that was the subject of the most recent Eden map. Page 3, where it's modified to state from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. midnight or earlier for cafes and businesses that sell breakfast items and so on and so forth. Old.
So that's what it is for the two existing Starbucks, but we're not actually setting up operating hours within the parameters of what we're doing here, correct? It was going to be on a case-by-case basis?
That's correct. So the paragraph in bold with the underline, that's what we're suggesting. And that's what the Eden Mac recommended.
And I think the only other thing, only other change I might suggest would be second bullet point down on page 9. Since these conditions, it sounds like these conditions are going to be mandatory now. Second bullet point, to discourage loitering, locate any public telephones within the building or outdoor telephones are not permitted. We'd probably get rid of those at this point since we don't have those anymore. It's kind of showing our age. The rest of that is fine. Does anybody want to make a motion on this? If not, I'll take a stab at it. Make a motion that the Planning Commission, are we making a recommendation to the Board of Supes on this?
Yes, please.
Okay. I make a motion that the Planning Commission approve the changes to the policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, San Lorenzo to eliminate the prohibition of new drive-in restaurants for parcels that are located along Hesperian Boulevard, bordered by Bachman Road and the three additional properties to the north, and by the city of Hayward to the south, with a conditional use permit process featuring a methodology to place a cap on the number of establishments with revisions to proposed conditions of approval, and vote on a recommendation to Planning Commission for the Board of Supervisors, also that the commission adopt the resolution in our packet and add to that that the total number of existing drive-throughs in this area be added to these changes and codified going forward. Is there a second for that? Questions?
What was that last part again, please, Chairman Crocker?
I was reading the staff recommendation here.
The first part.
It's quite lengthy. I can read it over again. So the staff recommendation is for the Planning Commission to approve the changes to the policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, San Lorenzo to eliminate the prohibition on new drive-in restaurants for parcels that are located along Hesperian Boulevard, bordered by Bachman Road and the three additional parcels to the north, and by the city of Hayward boundary to the south, with a conditional use process featuring a methodology to place a cap on the number of establishments with revisions to the proposed conditions of approval, and vote on a recommendation to Planning Commission for the Board of Supervisors. That's the recommendation that staff has in here. And I'm adding to that that we would be approving the resolution that staff has in our packet here, which is a Planning Commission resolution. It's not on a, it's not page numbered, but it's kind of,
I see.
They do this for us. So I'm referring to that in the motion, and then I'm adding that staff will figure out the total number of drive-through restaurants currently existing and add that into the revisions that we're making at this time. Is that clear? I know it's very lengthy. We got to capture it all. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from the chair, a second from Commissioner Silva. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Zeitz?
Yes.
Commissioner Silva?
Yes.
Commissioner Rocha? Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kelly?
No.
And Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I just want to thank staff for bringing that back to us with the changes that we had asked for from the last time it was here. Moving on to item 10B, which is PLN 2025-122, is a planning director determination. have the staff report on this item.
Just to intro it really quickly, there is a provision in the zoning code that's related to uses not listed. Whenever we get an inquiry from the public about a use that's not listed, there is a provision in the zoning code that allows us to kick it up to the Planning Commission for your review. And so that's what we're doing today on this particular use of adult daycare. I'll pass it over to William Chin, the planner on the case, and he'll be doing the presentation for you.
Planning Commission, this is William with the Planning Department. This is a planning director determination application for the use of an existing retail building to an adult daycare center. The applicant is Irwin Lau. The application address is at 1446 A Street within the Plan Development District, PLN 2021-00254. I will go over the approved uses under this Plan Development District in the later slides. Under the general plan, it's a neighborhood commercial land use designation, and it is an existing facility or building. So these are the project details. Tens Professional Nursing Corp. currently operates at an adult daycare facility in Union City. They plan on operating on Mondays through Fridays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And approximately 45 to 60 mobile and non-mobile persons and employing on average 20 to 30 staff members. They plan to operate both on the ground floor and the second floor, and they are a for-profit entity, and as I said before, this would be their second location, as their primary location would be in this Union City. It is within the Cache Valley General Plan, which primarily serves neighborhood-serving retail, for example, convenience stores, small restaurants, hair salons, and fitness studios. Under the current zoning district, Plan Development District, PLN 2021-00245, it allows neighborhood commercial uses both permitted and conditionally permitted with the CN development standards. Number two, the remodeling of an existing vacant commercial building to be used for CN uses, including restaurant and retail, and establishing land use limitations in the CN district for this particular plan development, that the ground floor be, if there's proposals for office uses on the ground floor, it will be a conditional use permit process for office uses on the ground floor. And in the Cache Valley area specifically, the by right uses include daycare centers for children, artisan maker spaces without a conditional use permit. Since adult daycare centers are not specifically defined in the zoning ordinance, there's two sections in the zoning ordinance where the plan director can defer to the Planning Commission to see if this use is permitted for the specific property. These are the general development standards and performance standards for daycare facilities specifically tailored towards children. A few of those performance standards include noise levels, hours of operation, outdoor playtime limitations, playground apparatus if they do choose to install any of those, liking, parking standards, and screening. So those are the typical performance standards evaluated for a child care center or daycare center in Cache Valley. The proposed use could have similar impacts to a daycare facility for children in terms of operational details, hours of operation, noise, drop-off, and pickup times. But as currently the regulations are written more geared towards children versus adult daycare facilities. Currently there are no development regulations for adult daycare centers under the current regulations. And staff requests that the Planning Commission provide direction on whether the proposed adult daycare facility can be evaluated similarly to a daycare center for children. Staff is available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Any questions for staff, commissioners?
Yeah, I had a question.
Go ahead, Commissioner Kelly.
Was there a reason why daycare was included in the local zoning in the first place?
I think historically we've had daycare or childcare in our zoning code. There's some state laws that also require.
So this was just part of like the generic. This wasn't part of some desire in the community to have daycare there adjacent to schools or other interests.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you so much.
Go ahead, Commissioner Silva.
Thank you. So in this building, William, there'll be an adult daycare center, a restaurant, and some retail?
They currently plan on using the entire building for the daycare center only.
What's the reference to the restaurant and retail?
So that was the approved uses under the planned development district.
That's what it was?
Correct.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Okay. So those retail and restaurant uses are by right uses under the planned development district, and which also is referencing the CN commercial zoning district in the zoning ordinance.
We're not being asked to consider any of that. We're dealing strictly with the adult daycare.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple of speaker cards here. Alicia Parra. Okay. Seth Hubbard.
Commissioners, hello staff. So I'm a leasing agent. I work for NAI NorCal. I'm familiar with the building. I've been working with the landlord on marketing it for the last couple of years. And then I'm also representing in the negotiations that we're undergoing with the TINS daycare, the structure of the agreement, you know, how it would work on lease terms. So I met Erwin and his group in late June for a tour of the building. Seems to be a great fit with the layout of the building as it was currently configured. There's challenges with the building as is. It's been vacant for 3 to 4 years. There's been some work done on the exterior of the building to help make sure it's waterproofed and not such a blight in the community, but a lot of improvements need to happen to the interior. So, you know, within the designation, I think that there's a wide range of uses, and retail restaurant seems to jump out to people at the top. We've been marketing heavily. We have collateral geared towards those types uses, and that tenant profile is not one that is capable, willing, or interested in taking on the improvements in harmony with the landlord, just because of what the current layout looks like, no type one hood. I mean, there's a lot of things that would need to be done in order to get it to perform to that use. So we were very excited when it seems to fit very well with the adult daycare group. And we were very optimistic because within the wide range of uses, there is daycare as a category and community facility as a category. And so we proceeded with negotiations and terms, and both parties have come to agreement on what that rehab would look like, what the timeline would look like. So the last piece to the puzzle is making sure that this is a permitted use before we get the parties running together. So I'm sure in support of seeing it this way. I mean, it's serving a community of adults that have intellectual and developmental needs and need a place to socialize and congregate. It's not a residential type concept. It would be during the day, come together, get the support structure they need, and think it's a good fit for the community with the Eden Housing Project that's just right there, the residential that is all around. We think it could be a good center space to bring those that have those needs and get those types of services. I feel like if we don't have that be a permitted use, then we run the risk of another several years of it becoming a vacant building that's had squatters that just has a host of issues. And so from my perspective, would love to take advantage of this opportunity. And I know that it has broader implications, but from me on the ground working hard on getting a tenant for this building, I sure see many, many positives to making this happen. So thank you.
May I ask the speaker?
Silva.
Thank you. That building looks beautiful, by the way. It's been vacant for so long, and it really looks nice. So congratulations on keeping it well-maintained. For adult daycare, like children's daycare, there will be people coming and going all the time, I surmise. Dropping off, picking up.
I would, for the operational and the logistics, I would defer. I think that Mr. Irwin put in a card, which could probably talk more to what the operations of their program looks like. But certainly, I mean, I think that your assumption there is correct that there would, you know, be activity in the building.
There's a bicycle lane in front of the building, though. So where would people stop to drop off and pick up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the next step is working with an architect on figuring out what is the details of this plan. I think both sides are apprehensive to commit a lot of time and funds to all of these next steps without having guidance on this, if this is going to be in the realm of a permitted use for the general category of the CN district that it's in.
How does that relate to the bicycle lane? I'm sorry.
That the details of like where drop off would be or what is the plan for routing into and out of the building still would need to be defined within that building space, and that both landlord and tenant you know, have some work to do there, but are not wanting to commit architect time, resources, energy until there's some level of assurance that it will kind of meet the permitted use requirement.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you all.
Erwin Lau.
Permission to play a video in the background just so you have a visual of what the company or what we're trying to open. I represent the company that's opening the adult day program at the location.
You so can try. Are we going to all watch your phone or what's the plan here?
Just copy the link on the computer so it can be shown. It's a YouTube video. Nah, it's okay.
Are we tech savvy enough to handle that? I don't think we've had that request before. I don't think the county is that. We're not that tech savvy.
Okay. Well,
we would need to set that up ahead of time.
All right. I represent the company. We are a company located in Union City. It's called TINS Day Program. We have 45 developmentally disabled clients. If you can check the website, tinsdayprogram.com, you will see what we are. We service people mostly in wheelchairs. They live in residential community facilities, RCFEs. We pick them up in the morning at 7 a.m. We have our own transportation. And currently, we are overflowing. We need a second location to house some of those clients who live in Castro Valley, Hayward, and other locations. We service clients all the way to Fremont. We bring them to our facility in Union City, right beside Mexico Typical along Alvarado Niles, from Mondays through Fridays, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then we bring them back to their care homes. So we are a school for developmentally disabled. We have instructors helping out those clients in a 3:1 ratio. So right now we have 15 clients directly involved with instructing these clients and another 5 office staff. We have all our own drivers. We provide our own transportation. And we are funded by the Regional Center of the East Bay and licensed by the California Department of Developmental Services. So we are a highly scrutinized and regulated industry. And we take care of our clients by providing recreational activities, social interaction with other populations. And we have a licensed vocational nurse in the facility, in the program, to take care of tube feeding, insulin monitoring, blood pressure checking, and all that stuff. So when we found out that this property in Castro Valley is vacant for a very long time, we were able to determine that it's zoned as a daycare facility. But the definition of the daycare facility under the code is that it's for children. And so we're here looking for determination from you guys to allow adult daycare as equivalent to what's on the code, children's daycare. And so that we can follow all the steps required. We can put signage, we can do noise mitigation, we can do fencing, we can do landscaping, all of that that the CUP would have us do. So I think that's the gist of it. If you allow us to consider this type of service to the community, then it's really a very good step forward, because we have 20 clients already waiting, and this project would take a year and a half because of all the regulations. So before we can begin, but after we begin, we will have 60 clients in there and about 30 employees, because the staffing ratio we're required to provide is 3:1. This will bring a lot of good paying jobs that start at $22 an hour, with drivers starting at $25 an hour. So I guess, you know, it's a win for the community, especially since this property has been vacant for a very long time.
Your parking demand would seem to outstrip what's available on the parcel. How would you...
Our pickup and drop off would be inside the property. It's perfect because it can accommodate up to 15 vans.
You're going to have how many employees?
About 30.
Are they all coming in the vans, or are they coming in their own vehicle?
No, the vans move to and fro different locations. So okay. Right now, with the 45 clients we have in Union City, we have 6 vans servicing.
Where do your 30 employees park?
Our employees would be parked in our, it's a private, right at parking lot where we are at now in Union City. So in the planned location, employees would be parking within the property. So there's a gate that we plan to build, asphalt the entire parking lot, and have employees park there.
Okay. I'm not sure I got the answer I was looking for there. So are you going to have employees driving their own vehicles parking at this location, or all employee parking is in Union City?
No. The employees that we plan to have in Castro Valley are different employees from Union City. So they report to Castro Valley, and they will be parking inside a facility.
Okay. And you just said that your ratio is 3:1. You were going to have 60 patients and 20 employees. And you can fit 15 vans on site, but you have 20 employees. So now you have 20 cars, and I don't know how many vans. Sure. Obviously, the vans are roaming around all the time. But we don't have a site plan, we're not looking at anything. But it kind of looks like your parking demand is going to be far above what this site provides.
If you allow us to move forward and accept the determination that the adult program would be considered in that location, then we would be happy to present a parking plan that would discuss those. But right now, the facility or the property at A Street can accommodate about 15 vans. We only need 10 vans and maybe 5 cars, and go figure out ourselves where we will park. But if that's an issue that we can answer, we'd do so at the CUP when we apply.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to pursue it in that manner and it goes in that direction, that's certainly one way to handle it. But as far as you handling how you're going to park the other 15 people, that's a burden that's going to fall on this neighborhood. And there's no parking on A Street. So it's all going to fall in the interior streets that we just put a 72 unit, you know, multifamily affordable housing project on. It's a little unusual, at least it feels unusual to me. It's kind of sounds like, are we trying to pre-approve this project? Or are we just saying, we're only talking about this parcel. We're not talking about changing the criteria for daycare for children and making it okay for adults for all other properties with the same zoning, are we?
The use is not listed provision. What we're asking is if we should be reviewing adult daycare in a similar manner as we would childcare. So it would affect other parcels that are similarly zoned. So we're not talking about just this parcel. It's just, we're talking about the use. Like, is it similar enough that we could treat it the same, or is it too different that it should not be permitted the same way that childcare and daycare are permitted?
So my experience with the child daycare side of this, just from being on the MAC and stuff, is, you know, the childcare facilities are much smaller. And if it's six or less, we have to allow it by state standards. We can't. I'm not even sure if they. So I'm kind of trying to figure out how much of that bleeds into the adult side of this. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know what other commissioners feel like, but this is a little bit more complicated. It's definitely larger. I mean, this is almost like a Montessori school size, like facility, if you were to equate it to children, or maybe like the Busy Bee Learning Center in Castro Valley, where they have a lot of kids, but they have the parking lot set up with a big circle for people to drive in and out. It's really set up for the traffic. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if we need standards for adult daycare separate from child daycare. I don't know what other commissioners think. Almost here, huh? They don't have child daycare centers this size. Certainly not with borough.
And recall also, this is daycare is it's permitted by right, and so if you were to make the determination that this use is similar enough to daycare that you could treat it the same, there would be no. The gentleman was talking about a use permit. There would be no use permit required. It would be permitted by right.
I think that would be a disaster, honestly. Allowing, I get the idea with the vans. I don't really have a problem with the vans and bringing everybody in on the vans. I don't see, you know, have a traffic circulation plan for that, but we're not going to get a traffic circulation plan if it's allowed by right. We're just saying, Wild West, you're on your way. And I don't see subjecting this neighborhood and certainly other neighborhoods to. So I guess what I'm a little perplexed, because I know that we did see child care centers. Is there a change in the law so that they're, regardless of size, they're all allowed by right now or what? Because we had them come to the MAC for approval.
Or so there's small family daycare and then large family day. Small daycare is up to six, and then upwards of 6 to 14 is considered a large family daycare allowed by rights within residential zoning districts. So they do not need any discretionary reviews from the county. And daycare centers specifically under the commercial neighborhood district is by rights permitted within Castro Valley. So in other zoning districts under the CN, if it's not within Castro Valley, they may still need a conditional use permit, but it's just specific to Castro Valley where it's by right for daycare centers.
Let's say the Planning Commission doesn't want to go along with this. What would the options be for the applicant? Can they, is this a potential conditional use, or since it's not listed as a conditional use, we can't even go in that direction?
Yeah, I think then you'd be looking at a zoning change or a zoning code amendment that would either allow it as a conditionally permitted use, the adult daycare. So then you could regulate it differently. And then of course, with the CUP, you could have discretion to limit the number of of occupants or number of you could regulate it. Right now we just don't have anything. The closest fit was daycare, which is again why we're here. Just saying, is it close enough, or is it too different that it's just, you know, we can't really do anything with the applicant given our current zoning restrictions.
Sure, Kelly, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, the chair is asking similar questions that I have about what our other options are. I think it's helpful to think about what the applicant wants for this parcel, but that's not the question before us. The question before us is about the similarity between the two uses. And I tend to think that if there are two uses that are pretty similar, they're pretty similar. But there are differences, and a big difference is size and staffing ratios. And we don't have that specified anywhere in the child care section. We don't have the ability to consider parking intensity and just some of the other things that would get triggered at much larger facilities. So I tend to think that even though they are similar activities, they're not really similar uses. And I think under having the commission understand what the other options are for us other than that concurrence would be very helpful.
That's what I just asked Albert, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like he said we would need some changes to the zoning ordinance to kind of make this happen. I will say I'm not opposed to an adult daycare at this location, but the parking needs to be figured out so that we're not placing the burden on the community that we just put a big multifamily housing project on. So I don't know what to tell you specifically on that, and the commission still needs to determine what direction it wants to go in. But I'm just letting you know all these concerns. I'm not bringing them up by saying I would be opposed to this project at this location. I think it could actually work. I did have a question though. Do you need an elevator in this building if you're going to have a bunch of people in wheelchairs?
Most our employees actually reside in care homes, so most of them just take public transportation. And so if the parking quantity or assignment is an issue, you know, well, we could apply for a 30 to 45 limit of clients, then that would limit us to only six vans and like 10 employees or 15 employees. So, but essentially you agree with me that daycare as described on the zoning regulations can include adult daycare as we are proposing because they have similar use. So
I don't think we've said that yet. I don't think we've agreed to that yet, but it's not bad for you to encourage us in that direction in that manner. ma'am, you have your hand up. Did you want to say something? I'll need you to come up here and state your name and fill out a speaker card when you're done.
I don't have a speaker card, but my name is Tina Ilao. I'm also the administrator of TIN State program. I just wanted to say that before all of those will happen and before all this will operate, a parking study will happen. So, you know, all those questions that you're bringing up right now will also come up during
that's the problem. It won't, because if we make this change like you're asking, there won't be a CUP, there won't be an application process. You guys are free to do whatever you want, the same as a childcare center would do in that location. And that's the concern that we have.
Because when we opened our first day program, the 10 state program in Union City, there was a parking study first before everything was approved.
Now, that's a different jurisdiction, though. This is the county of Alameda. So we don't really know what the city of Union City was requiring, and definitely was probably different because we don't seem to have it set up that way here in the county, which is part of what we're trying to figure out. But the speaker cards are on the back table. Can I get you to fill one out and give it to our staff person here so we have you on record? Was there anything else you wanted to say?
That's it. I mean, if you have any other questions with regards to the date program.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioners, speak up.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is the comment closed?
Yeah, I'm missing my gavel. It's kind of throwing me off here. Yeah, I'll go ahead and close public comment. I was leaving the quasi-applicant up here because I thought we might have questions, and then she raised her hand. So, yeah, at this point, public comments is closed. Cheers. What are your thoughts?
A question. Staff, did you ever figure out what Union City zoned them as? What was their requirements?
We would have to do additional research for it.
Mr. Silva.
So,
excuse me.
So if we as a body here suggest or decide that adult daycare is pretty much the same as child daycare, then they can proceed with their doing without, by right, you say, without oversight. You said that. Do I understand that correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, so if we want to encourage them to pursue this, by seeking a zoning change, would that be an appropriate recommendation? No.
It's beyond the question that's on the table. The question on the table is whether or not the use is similar enough to daycare, which is a permitted use. If the answer to that question is no, then the applicant would have to seek other sites or other alternatives in the county. For example, they could go to the MAC and they could ask that this zoning change occur. They could maybe approach the supervisor's office. They could talk directly with staff. We haven't really explored that yet. This is sort of the easiest path for them potentially. If the answer is no, that's just too different that we don't think it's similar, then we would be able to talk with the applicant about some of their other options.
That's a good answer. Thank you.
And then on top of that, this affects everywhere else in the Castro Valley General Plan that is zoned in the same manner. So not just this parcel. So we're kind of opening the floodgates. Commissioner Rocha, you looked about ready to.
Yeah. Can you just talk to me a little bit about more your determination here, Albert? As you brought this here for us, I just kind of wanted to hear more about how you felt maybe this was similar.
For example, if a daycare center is permitted by right, that means that you could have a daycare center. I think there's some limit on the number of children based on the space that you have. And so that would not be regulated. Right? So someone could open up a daycare center tomorrow with a business license and of course building permits and all that. So they are similar in that way, is that, you know, there is drop off in the morning, there's pickup in the afternoon. No one spends the night. There's probably food that's provided, just like, you know, I'm sure, you know, people that have kids, you know, you go to daycare, they get a snack, they take a nap, there's places to sleep and for them to recreate. It's probably not that different. But because they are adults, and I think that it did sound like the ratio to from employee to the participant is a little higher potentially than for children, there's probably a slight bump in the number of staff. And so they're different, and we have a permissive zoning code, and you know, if it doesn't say it, then you can't do it. But this is a way to sort of get there with through this use is not listed provision in the zoning code. And so I think, you know, we struggled with it, and so, you know, we didn't want to necessarily land in the wrong place, and that's why we brought it to you.
I tend to land in the favor of a few things here. One is if adult daycare is anything like child care, it's probably hard to find a location where you can get that care near where you live. And so I think having locations throughout the community is probably a community benefit. I drop off my son at daycare every single day, and so I'm grateful that he was able to get into daycare and we were on a wait list. And you know, these things, can having one that's convenient and good for your family is important. As someone who's cared for an elder adult or helped care for them or been a part of their life, I can understand the challenges of trying to do that without assistance. So, and then from a planning perspective, you know, we might have all the best rules in the world, but if we have a bunch of vacant buildings, maybe we're not doing our job in terms of allowing certain uses. So I think, you know, from those few perspectives, I'd be in favor of seeing they're similar. I understand there's parking challenges, but you know, I don't know. We live in the Bay Area. There's people here. There's parking challenges in every city in the Bay Area. I don't know that we're going to escape parking challenges. If you look at what the community benefit though of a use like this is, I think the use has broad benefit. I think that we don't want to encourage vacancy by saying, well, we'll take two more years to figure out whether we create a zoning overlay here that addresses every issue that might come up. I do think that, you know, and that might be the case. We might see this item come back to us in a year or two if the applicant sticks with us or if another one comes by. But I just think that for commercial uses, I think I could see this as being similar, and I could see this as having a community benefit.
Sure, Kelly.
Yeah, I wish this was a project because then we could attach conditions and solve the problem, but we can't require parking permits. There's all these things we can't do. I just was really looking at more of the details on how daycare staffing and everything works, and the ratios of employees can be similar. right? So for under 18 months, it's 3 children to 1 adult. So that's the same as an adult daycare. For, you know, infants up to 3 years, it's 1 to 4, which is a very similar ratio. They also have additional requirements of instructors. That's a second level of individuals required. But you start getting closer to like a 1 to 8 ratio, you know, if you're 3 to 5, and if you're 5 or older, it's 1 to 14. So for all day type daycare facilities, you're looking at, you know, half as many employees. It's not as big of a difference as I was thinking it might be, thinking about after school programs and other things that offhand I was more familiar with. But I'm very cognizant that once we create a by right zoning, that you can run into a lot of problems with that. And to do it without more of an opportunity to address those problems, I mean, the answer may simply be to copy and paste the childcare ordinance and add a conditional, you know, use permit for various operational concerns, but they are somewhat different. And I truthfully think that in some ways, the fact that we don't require a conditional use permit for daycare facilities, although I understand why we don't, can lead to very similar issues. So, you know, it's a hard one, because if it was a project, I think we'd have more tools to solve it. And my desire to help this facility to move forward, because I think it's a good use for the community and the area, I just don't think outweighs the concerns that I have about tying our hands in the future to try to make these facilities work more cohesively.
So I agree with a lot of what Commissioner Kelly said, and I also can relate to what Commissioner Rocha was saying as well. I kind of got my child care education on the MAC, and we had a lot of folks come in, county folks, as you know, talking about the shortage in child care. And I think that's kind of what led to this by right in the commercial area, because I remember specifically discussing that when we were talking about changes to the general plan. And I think that's why we landed on that. But to me, this is different enough. I mean, I would like to support this project there, but I would need to regulate it. I think it's, I understand that we live in the Bay Area and there's a parking problem everywhere, but throwing 15 cars into this neighborhood, it, to me, is just irresponsible. And I don't know how you go out there and talk to the neighbors and explain to them that that was a proper thing to do in any manner. But for that, I think it's different enough that I, you know, I would vote no. It's not the same, and I'll make a motion to that unless someone else has.
So what's the motion, Chair? I was about to offer one.
Oh, well, go ahead if you'd like to.
All right. Well, thank you. I'd like to move that the Planning Commission determines that adult daycare is sufficiently dissimilar from child daycare that adult daycare use at this site should not be permitted, should not be allowed.
Commissioner Hernandez, you have your hand up.
No, I just had a few comments. In terms of the community benefit, I think it's important to create a safe space where we can provide services to adult care. As a caregiver myself, I see the community benefit for sure. But I also have some reservations in terms of the community impact on parking in the neighborhood. And I just really would like to learn more in terms of their partnership with the Regional Center of the East Bay. Just from a social perspective, I just wanted to learn more. And so I just wanted to bring up those points that in terms of the parking concern, but I can also, you know, see the benefit again of caregiving. But on the other hand, I also believe, you know, I don't want to see vacant lots in the neighborhood. And so all to say, these were my points, and I wanted to bring them to commission.
Okay, any other discussion, commissioners? Well, we need a second on this. I'll go ahead and second it. Was the motion sufficiently thorough?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Do we have the ability to direct staff on how to proceed on adult daycare centers in general, or is that beyond the agenda item before us?
I believe that that's beyond the agenda item that you have before you. You could certainly say that you would like to see something from staff and express your opinion, but that's not part of today's action. It wasn't agendized as such.
Okay.
Oh. We could bring that up under chair or commission comments at the end as well.
Great. Yeah.
To make the request of staff.
Okay.
Not a discussion.
I would just say on my personal vote prior to doing so, I would hope that staff would take the opportunity to develop a way that these programs can move forward in a manner. I think that there's a very easy way to do it. And I think if you take the child care ordinance, look at how adult daycare is regulated in some of our cities and probably throw in a CU conditional use permit, it's probably pretty close to that. But I tend to agree with that, the other commissioners, that it's just not quite similar enough. Although I'm not sure that the parking impacts on a facility the size of a childcare facility would be much different. And the childcare ordinance does not limit the size of childcare facilities. So that's something to be figured out later, but I'd be inclined to support the motion on the table very reluctantly.
Hey, can we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Zeiss?
Yes.
Commissioner Silva?
Yes.
Commissioner Rocha?
No.
Commissioner Hernandez?
No.
Vice Chair Kelly?
If this motion doesn't pass, does it fail or does it move to the Board of Supervisors?
There is an appeal process.
It's the same either way.
So yes, if the applicant chooses, they can appeal within 10 days and the question would be bumped up to the Board of Supervisors.
It comes back to us if we can't make a decision. It comes back to us a second and a third time. County Council, correct me if I'm wrong. Deadlock, it comes back to us because we're down one commissioner tonight.
Because you haven't taken action, so it would come back to you. I believe you get three bites at it. And then depending on the action you take, there can be an appeal to the board.
Right. But if we don't agree after three, it's automatically denied. And
correct.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and vote no for that reason.
Okay. I'm going to vote yes. So we are deadlocked. 3-3.
So sorry, Chair. I meant to say yes. I meant no on the similarity, but yes on the motion to say that they're
okay. That's fine. Thank you for the clarification. Okay, so in that case, we don't need to have this come back to us. There's four votes to considering it not sufficiently similar to childcare. One thing that I was going to offer is I would be happy to meet with the potential applicant and county staff to brainstorm how quickly some change could be made. Because I don't oppose the project at that location. I just think it needs to have some parameters around it. So I'm happy to do that if you have any interest in that. So let's see, where are we at? Staff comments and correspondence?
Staff has no comments or correspondence. Oh, actually, that's not true. Did you get an email related to Planning Commission conference that's occurring?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's coming up pretty soon, so. Okay, that's the only correspondence or comments we have tonight.
Okay, so under chair's report, I got a couple things. I don't know if everybody got the email for some sort of training. I think it was another harassment training thing. Did everybody get that a couple days ago? Okay, well, maybe they just sent it to me. Anyway, I was going to say... if you did get it, we kind of fought this battle last time. We're not county employees and we don't have to complete these trainings. because they tried to have us do this before, and it's, we're not county employees, and our stipends are not enough to make us do these types of things. So if they didn't send it to you, you don't have to worry about it. So the other thing was, I had not been able to go to Transportation and Planning and make the presentation on the permit streamlining subcommittee and full commission recommendations that we had that was scheduled for June 23rd. It was on their agenda. I had a family medical emergency. I could not attend. And then we had that long summer break. And so I actually was on the agenda this morning and was there for that, gave them, you know, a pretty full report on, you know, what our efforts have been to date and our what our recommendations are. I think it went well in the sense that, you know, the supervisors would like to see things move forward. They actually did pass a motion to do a, have the county administrator's office hire a full-time employee to basically act as kind of a unincorporated services manager, some kind of manager that they got to figure all that out, but they did at least make a motion to go to the full board to discuss that and possibly recommend that to CAO's office. So I thought that was positive. Dan DeVinny was there on the agenda before me to talk about the site development reviews, and he did a very good job of that. So I just wanted to bring everybody up on that. And then, you know, there's a number of items that have been brought to the commission, different commissioners that haven't really been resolved. And so what I'd like to do, I might even put it on, I don't know if I'll put it on the next agenda or not, but I'm going to come up with a list of things that we've sort of discussed. We want to, do we want to look at these things or not, and just bring it to the full commission so we can discuss it. I'll use an example of Ashland Cherryland business district plan requirement that you don't have to have any parking for that one project that we had that came before us that we didn't agree with, and it was appealed to the Board of Supes, and it essentially had to be approved because of state law. But that was, you know, that was in because of its proximity to the BART station, and, you know, something like that. I mean, there's those types of items that we've discussed a couple of times and haven't really followed through on. And I think that list is getting lengthy enough to bring that list to the full commission. So I'll look at putting that on a future agenda. That's all I had for chair's report. Commissioner announcements, comments, reports.
Okay. I do have more of a question, Chair. I would like to learn more about the field trip plan to the mobile home. You said that, I guess, tentatively, it's scheduled for October 20th.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to set that up for 3:00 because we're going to potentially visit more than one park, and then everyone can kind of go take a break or whatever and come back for the full commission hearing at 6:00.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I had that. We did finalize that agenda, I believe, did we not? Is that the one you guys had to do?
I believe that's the only item on that agenda. But
another one, I thought there was something Rodrigo had or somebody had that was. I thought there was two items on there.
I have to look real quick. I can't remember. But in terms of the site, the field trip, yeah, 3:00, and we are hoping to get at least two mobile home parks to go visit. One of them is confirmed. We have an invite from the owner of the mobile home park, and we're looking for another one of those, or potentially an invite from the residents. And so that will. That will be, you know, we'll nail that down hopefully in the next couple of days and get that out to you so you can make plans around that.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. Way I can do a workaround with my work schedule.
Yeah, we'll try not to make it a habit, Commissioner Hernandez. I know it's hard for people to get off work early, and, you know, so it's not something we're going to do on a regular basis, but this is kind of a special case.
Agreed.
So as soon as we do get that information, we'll try to get it out to the full commission.
Thank you.
And with that, I'd say we are adjourned.
Thank you.